Hello, everybody. Welcome to the special bonus episode edition of The Throwback. It's your host, Ryan the Potman. Jimmy, my co-host, as well. Let's not speculate about that right now. On the latest edition of The Throwback, we had All That alumnus Angelique Bates as our special guest. On the special bonus edition episode, we have a special returning guest who was on our debut episode, Alisa Reyes, another former All That star. Check out this bonus episode as she makes another stop by the show to give us an update of what she's been up to, her reflection back on the 25th year anniversary of All That, and the future of what she has coming up. As always, you guys know the drill. If you like what you hear, be sure to check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and iHeartRadio for more exclusive interviews. Now here's our exclusive bonus episode and interview with special returning guest star Alisa Reyes.
You are listening to The Throwback Podcast, your stop for everything 90s. This is a throwback exclusive.
Joining me at this time in our returning guests, I'm pleased to welcome All That star and alumnus Alisa Reyes. Alisa, how are you?
I'm great. So happy to be chatting with you today again for a second time.
Yeah, you're our first returning guest there. So how's everything been going? Like, what have you been up to since we last talked?
Well, the past couple, I would say it's been like a year, right?
Yeah.
I would say 2018 has definitely been a really productive and really positive year filled with just things finally coming into alignment. You know, ever since I was a little girl, I've been constantly blessed to be working on a lot of multitude of different shows, but now transitioning as an adult woman, I have the opportunity to creatively write and produce and really be more hands-on with projects that, I'm just basically working on as we speak. And
right. My
baby that I've been working on this year has been a project called The Orange Years, which is a documentary about 80s and 90s Nickelodeon nostalgia. So Scott Barber, Adam Sweeney, and Bill Parks, these are all different people that are producers and creators and editors on my documentary that I'm one of the producers on. I'm also in the documentary. I was able to, you know, also help rally up some of our fellow Nickelodeon croonies. So Josh Server and Lori Beth Denberg and Kel Mitchell and Kenan Thompson and myself, we all got a chance to kind of, you know, get interviewed and talk about our, you know, going down memory lane. And Mark Summers and Phil Moore from Nick Arcade and Melissa Joan Hart and Larissa Olnick from Alex Mack. The list goes on and on. So when you think of Nickelodeon, our documentary covered the basis of what nostalgia was when it came to the 80s and 90s.
Right.
So on November 15th, Doc Film Festival, Doc New York, picked up our project and is going to be premiering it in New York City. So I'm very excited for that opportunity.
Wow.
So fans can really get a chance to see what all this hard work has been, been going on this past year.
Yeah, that sounds exciting. We'll touch more on the Orange Years later because that sounds like a very exciting project, man. It's hard to believe it's been 25 years since All That's first aired. Time flies, doesn't it?
Has it been that long? Oh,
it's hard to believe that. It doesn't feel like it. I remember I was in fourth grade when that show came on. But yeah, time sure knows how to fly these days, so to speak.
I feel like the fan base that I have from All That has been so loyal. Even the fan base from when I play the voice of La Cienega from the Disney cartoon, The Proud Family, Disney and Nickelodeon fans, and it doesn't even matter really what the network is. I think if people can find a relatable person or storyline or entity or energy from a programming, it's always going to resonate. It's always going to stay with you. That's why, you know, lately I've been like binge watching a show called The 90s on Netflix, produced by Tam Hanks, who also there's the 70s, the 80s, you know, there's certain eras and genres we just gravitate to.
Yeah,
and I was
a
part of Generation X, you know what I mean? So at the end of the day, I think good TV is hard to come by. That's why all these great programs are now being either rebooted or being re-aired on different networks, just because TV's not the way it used to be.
No, it's
so
totally
when
different.
You find something that you can relate to, yeah, you know, it's just the fan base will stay loyal to it. And that's just what I loved, is that I was a part of something that was really iconic. And that's why being a part of this documentary just made sense. So I had to say yes to it, not only as being interviewed, but also coming on board as a producer. So I'm really excited for everyone to see this documentary. It's going to be amazing. Check out theorangeyears.com to see the teaser and learn more about it.
All right. When you first started on the show, did you feel that the show would have this so much impact like it has today?
I think yes, because it was a really amazing concept and formula that was so different then. And also I feel like there's a lack of that energy and frequency even currently now, other than SNL, which I'm so honored and proud that my co-star from All That, Kenan Thompson, who has been like one of the longest running members on SNL, and he finally just got a Creative Emmy Award, you know, for all of his hard work. I feel like shows like SNL and like our show and In Living Color and Mad TV and, you know, the list goes on with like, I'm trying to think of all, like Roundhouse on Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Those kind of shows don't really exist anymore. So I think if it was on right now, without a doubt, I think fans would definitely vibe with it and love it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, you don't really see shows like that made anymore. When you look back at the show, what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you look back at those years?
The intertwining of the musical acts. I think also the creativity that Nickelodeon, and when I say Nickelodeon, that's also like Michael Tolan and Brian Robbins. The people that allowed us as actors, let alone kid actors, to be able to have the flexibility to be able to ad lib and maybe come up with some content and create our own characters. And that's what I love about, you know, what Kenan does on SNL. You know, the SNL comedic actors get a chance to really write their own shtick. And if they don't really write their own shtick, they may not get airtime. So, you know, I can only imagine if we were adults, what kind of characters would formulate now. But as kids, we really had a really amazing opportunity to be free. And that's what was fun. There was no set like the All That set that I ever experienced in any job that I've ever done, because it was just so open. It was like a playground.
Yeah.
You know, and we were constantly just having a blast. Like, I honestly just remember constantly laughing on set. That was a memory of mine, is just laughing and laughing and laughing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a good atmosphere to be around. If you're on a, like, entertaining, funny show like that, it has to be loose and funny backstage as well, or it's not going to translate, I don't think, too well on screen if it's, like, not like that backstage.
Right.
Yeah. What was I going to say? Like, let me see. Yeah, okay. If you could pick one, like, if looking back, is there, like, in the whole history of the show, what do you think is, like, the most funniest or entertaining skit that, I don't know, that's probably a hard question to even answer. Like, when you look back at the show, what do you think, in your opinion, was, like, probably the most funniest or entertaining skit that stands out to you, whether it was something you were involved in or someone else was involved in?
I mean, I loved doing Kiki the Island Girls.
Yeah, that's, I remember that, yeah.
For my personal skit, Lori Beth Denberg and I, her playing Fran, me playing Kiki, being two characters that were on a deserted island. I was dressed kind of like Marianne from Gilligan's Island, and mm-hmm. I was, like, kind of cute, always ready to go. And Fran, played by Lori Beth, was sunburnt, miserable, and just dying to get off this island. Every time we had the opportunity to get off the island, lo and behold, I would ruin that. And then I would end the skit singing a song that was very annoying, where I basically would be like, forever and ever and ever and ever. And it just was a character that was really fun and light, hyper, not too far off of my actual personality.
Right.
And just people that people can relate to and just laugh and have a good time.
Right.
And we were kind of like Lucy and Ethel. You know what I mean? Freaking frack yin and yang. And it just worked. You know, I thought Katrina Johnson as Ross Perot was epic. I thought Angelique as Urkel was just, you know, just awesome. And I loved Keenan playing, when I did the skit in the pilot, he played, it was Leap Froggy Frog, and I was like the host of an MTV rap show, and he played this frog, like pimp guy, and yeah. TLC was in the skit with us. You know, I mean, we played so many different things. I think no matter what was thrown our way, we just made it work, and we were our authentic selves. So adding a little dosage of us mixed with the characters just is really what brought it to life.
Yeah. Going back to all the other characters on the show, like especially Kiki Dallin Girl and like Ear Boy, and I always thought though some of those other characters on the show could have done very well as a spinoff as well. I know, like, I think I know Good Burger had a spinoff for a movie, but I thought some of those other characters could have had their own spinoff.
Well, I agree with you. I mean, definitely a spinoff for Island Girls would actually take us to another island.
Yeah.
You know, in comparison to Good Burger, that we're actually two boys you could put in any environment in any modern time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But at the same day, at the same time, at the end of the day, I think, you know, Keenan and Kel were such a dynamic entity and duo that they had a great formula and they worked so well together. So I could see why things branched off for them. As far as my character with Lori Beth, I think, yes, without a doubt, that would have been a hilarious skit. There's so many different characters that we all played that could have been off spinoffs. Amanda Bynes had, you know, been blessed to be able to go do her own spinoff show. And then, you know, I chose to leave all that. Like, my contract was actually getting ready to get renegotiated. But after 3 years in the pilot, I got offered to be a series regular on a teen NBC show called One World, which was the producer of Saved by the Bell, Peter Engel. And he produced City Guys, Hang Time.
Right.
And all these other, you know, teen NBC shows that aired on Saturday morning. So I moved on to doing that show. And I did that show for 3 years and won a Hollywood Reporter Award for Best Actress for that show. So for me, that was like me doing a spinoff, but I went going to do scripted work, more sitcom work, and, you know, played a different character in general and played one character on all that. I was a multitude of characters because it was sketch comedy. So for me, the transition from going to sketch comedy to playing one role consistently was a big transition, but something I really felt that I needed to do. And that's when I started to then venture off into TV and film. And after One World, I got my feet wet with soap work. I was on Bold and the Beautiful. I was on Passions. I had a record deal with Disney Records. I was in a girls group called 3Gs. We had a song on the Princess Diaries soundtrack called Second Chance. And then I ventured off to doing solo music. And then I did radio work for a little bit on Sirius Radio. And then guest starred on ER, NYPD Blue, Without a Trace, Boston Public. So, you know, I'm a jack of all trades. And as long as I'm creatively doing something in the arts, my soul is happy.
Now, going back to where you were just, I agree. Now, going back to where you were just saying, transitioning from sketch comedy to one role, like, not if you've done both, which one do you prefer, sketch comedy?
I love it all.
Yeah.
So I'm constantly, you know, when I'm not on set doing my own projects or doing something that I'm casted in, you know, I'm an actor. I have to audition for things. So I do TV, film, voiceover, drama, comedy, theatrical, everything across the board. I may even audition for theater plays. If the project resonates with me and I like the character and I'm connected to it, then by all means, carpe diem. Now, of course, we as humans have the right to say yay or nay to things. And I have passed on some things. There's certain things I will and will not do. You know, I have my boundaries, of course, but I am a chameleon. I'm a thespian. I'm an actor. So for me, I don't necessarily have a favorite, but no matter what I do, I give it 100%.
That's awesome.
Now
let's go back to the orange years. Now, you said it's a documentary. Is it a documentary in a book or is it just a documentary for the orange years?
So it's a documentary. It's a film documentary. Yeah. About 80s, 90s Nickelodeon nostalgia. So, like I said, my cast of all that, a good chunk of it, people from Salute Your Sorts, Alex Mack, creators and writers, anything pertaining to Nickelodeon in front of the camera, behind the camera, we nailed that. And so Doc New York Film Festival on November 15th is premiering our documentary. And God willing, in 2019, the plan is to get it in a theater near you and to get it on TV so you guys could see it in the comfort of your own home.
Everyone would love to see something like that. I know I would. Now, going back, I think you already touched this on this earlier, but like, who first came up with this idea to create this documentary? Like, was there one?
What transpired is some of the gentlemen's names that I mentioned, Scott Barber. You know, I was contacted by them over a year ago, and we all kind of put our heads together. They came to me with this amazing idea. They've already been really grounded and working on it, and I was able to kind of just add my own energy, my own accoutrements to the project. And because I fell in love with what they were doing, from the minute I was on board, not only did I want to be a part of it on camera, but I wanted to help and add more to the pie. So I was able to then be on board as a producer as well, which then allowed me to add and sprinkle my own little accoutrements to the project. And I feel like as a team, we all really rallied together. So, you know, as we speak, we're like finishing the fine-tuned details right now of the editing, but it's looking amazing. I can't wait for people to see it. And the teaser has gotten over 100K hits just alone.
Oh, wow.
So definitely, if you haven't seen it, check out theorangeears.com just to see the teaser, because the minute you see the teaser, you're like, oh my God, it just brings back the lane and you're like, die. And then it also makes you go, what have they been doing since then? So you kind of get a chance to see not only what we look like, but also, you know, what are they doing now? You know?
Yeah. That's true. So, you said 100K hits, over 100K already?
It has over 100K hits.
I'm not surprised though. You can't really be surprised at that. That's such a magical era. If you're a 90s kid, you watch Nickelodeon. Pretty much.
Yeah, for sure.
You had to.
And then, I mean, Nickelodeon is iconic. I think everyone, when they came home from school, between the hours of like, I don't know, 4 and 6, you were sitting in the middle of your living room, you know, before you had to do homework and eat your dinner, you had like an hour and a half to just like chill out. And I would sit and watch the new Mickey Mouse Club. I would watch Kids Incorporated. You know, until I got on the tube to be on a part of SNCC, I would watch Nickelodeon. And then when I was a part of it, I was like, okay, that's weird. I'm not going to watch myself. Okay, maybe I will. So, I mean, definitely without a doubt, you know, Nickelodeon, it was a part of my household. And I think it started for me watching like Degrassi High and You Can't Do That on Television with Alanis Morissette, just seeing them go in and out of the lockers and getting slimed whenever they were like,
oh, that's the
I don't
original.
Know, or whatever it was that they said.
That's the original Nickelodeon. Wow. That's like when
yeah,
I think Nickelodeon
like the
first started. Yeah. That's they helped build Nickelodeon.
I mean, I started acting like, you know, when I was 7 years old, and I, you know, have been a part of Screen Actors Guild since like 1990. So I'm not trying to age myself, but you know, I definitely feel like I'm like, I was in the pit of the 90s. So when people talk about 90s, it's like, I was like, oh, I know about the 90s.
That's the best era.
Best era ever.
It is. I'll argue with anybody that says otherwise, if you're out there.
<So funny.
laughs> Okay, let's see. Now, going back to the Orange Years project, so how long was the whole process? Like, how long did you guys have been working on this?
I mean, I think before they contacted me, I'm sure it was kind of it was existing and living and breathing and thriving for at least a couple months or more. And then when they contacted me, I kind of came in a little before the middle of the process.
Yeah.
And I was able to then finish off with them. But I think everyone was relatable to this concept. I think it was a bunch of guys that just decided, what makes you think of your childhood? You know, what was influential? What was happening? What makes you think of nostalgia, memory lane, yada, yada, yada. And this idea formulated. And then just with all of our connections, Because all of us are kind of located, all of us business people are located that are part of the project in different states. Mm-hmm. We just were able to put our heads together and just kind of formulate an amazing ensemble. We even got Coolio, so Coolio will be a part of the documentary as well. Yeah.
That's a name I haven't heard in a while. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, he looks great. I mean, at the end of the day, we really did it for the fans. And there hasn't been a documentary pertaining to 80s, 90s nostalgia when it comes to Nickelodeon, the topic of Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
We think it's really, like, the time is now with the reboot of all that. It's been over 5 years since, you know, Splat and mm-hmm. Nickelodeon brought back the revamping of it all.
Right.
You know, I think the time mm-hmm. is now, and it just made sense for me to be a part of this project. And what's great is now Scott Barber, who is one of the producers and an editor on our project, the documentary, The Orange Years, him and I are actually now doing some business together, and we're going to be working on a new project going into next year that's an animated TV show. So
oh, wow.
I think when you finally meet like-minded people, everything becomes in alignment, and then just the sky's the limit.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Now, are there any other projects related to Nickelodeon or all that is coming up in the near future that you're working on, since the anniversary is pretty much just right around the corner?
I mean, there's projects that I'm working on creatively right now that may have some people that are part of that nostalgia intertwined in it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in talks with a lot of people that either were from all that or from that era or from Nickelodeon that I may go in to do some endeavors with going into 2019. Mm-hmm. So I'm always open. I think, you know, you always kind of have to go back to your roots and give love and give water and nurturing to what the original foundation was. So
yeah.
If there's a will and there's a way that I can, you know, give back to the fans and do more work like this, or even intertwine past coworkers from shows that I've been on, then mm-hmm. without a doubt, yes, that's what's going to be happening. But yeah, in 2019, I have an animated show I'm excited to be working on. I can't tell too much about it, but it's going to be something amazing. And then I have a scripted show that I'm in the works, that are in the works as well. So, I mean, you know, and then I have a film. I have a film called Seeking the Red Rose in Mexico that I'm the star of, mm-hmm. and that I'm producing, that I'll be working on next year as well. And then in the interim, I've really just been really focused on possibly working on some new music. So I've been listening to a lot of different tracks and figuring out kind of what I want my next song to be, you know, because I haven't released a song since like 2016. So I want to release another one.
Oh, wow. Nice.
You know, my last track was called Sexy Hot, and I released it on TuneCore and iTunes and
yeah.
Google Play and Amazon. So I definitely, and then I released a music video for that. So, you know, keep an eye out. I might have some new music next year. And just, you know, my film Heavenly Deposit was supposed to come out this year. Films take a while, especially independent films. You know what I mean? So hopefully
yeah.
in 2019, everyone will be able to see that film, because that's a Christian-based film. It has a positive message.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. it was picked up by the Dove, D-O-V-E, like Dove Soap, Dove Foundation,
yeah.
which was an honor. And I'm really excited for fans to see that. And if you guys want to know more about me or follow me on social media, my name's spelled A-L-I-S-A-R-E-Y-E-S, or visit my website at elisareyes.com.
All right. And what's the website again for the Orange Years, in case you missed it? Orangeyears.com, right?
It's theorangeyears.com. You got it.
All right. So you guys can go check it out and find out more information about this upcoming documentary, you know. You know, I think it's really cool how most of the cast from all of that still embrace the show, like you, Keenan, and Kel, and a lot of the other mm-hmm. alumni. You don't really see that with some of these shows you see on like TV from from back in the day. You see a lot of people try to distance themselves away from like their past and don't want to be associated with it. But you guys like really embrace the all that.
I mean, to this day, I still, thanks be to God, get recognized for all that. And when I do, I embrace that person, because I mean, that was a big part of what boosted my career, was a part of my foundation and my nostalgia. And what's even more amazing is the man that created my show, All That, Brian Robbins, mm-hmm. is now the president of Nickelodeon. Oh. So that just goes to show you hard work really pays off. And so I've been in this business for over 20 years, and I'm excited that now not only can I be in front of the camera, but give back from being behind the camera
right.
in a way creatively that I wasn't able to do in the beginning of my career. So I think for me, that's the biggest payoff.
Yeah, really, the more work you put in, the more you get out of it at the end. Hard work always pays off.
Exactly,
yeah.
Exactly. And all of us stay in touch. And, you know, I have nothing but great things to say about all of my co-stars. And, you know, when I'm with them, it's good times. And when I'm not, you know, we ponder down memory lane and think about the good times. So I'm just optimistic to see what the next couple of years has in store for all of us. And,
right.
You know, I just want to say a big thanks to all the fans, because it wasn't for you guys, a lot of this wouldn't be possible.
Yeah, it really wouldn't. We keep the magic alive.
You keep the magic alive. Yes.
The magic of the 90s. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it's so great finally chatting with you again. And thank you so much for having me on your show.
It's been a pleasure. You're always a welcome guest down here at any time. Lisa Reyes, everybody.
Oh, that means a lot. Thank you, guys. Love you guys.
Just want to give a special thanks to Lisa Reyes for coming on the Throwback once again as our special guest and reflecting on her time on this hit 90s TV show. If you enjoyed this special bonus episode with her, be sure to check out our debut episode with Lisa Reyes as our special guest. It's always a blast catching up with Lisa. Anyways, I just want to say... Hello?
Son, are you there?
Is this Jimmy's uncle?
Yes, it's me. How you doing, young man? Have you been staying away from dirty wedges?
Yeah, I'm trying to.
Good. Always stay away from dirty wedges. Now, have you talked to my nephew?
Yeah, I kind of did. He's still in jail.
Well, I'm out of the country right now. If you want to talk to him, that will be, another month before I can bail him out of jail. You see, my tax refund is being delayed because I'm being audited. Those stupid Eskimos. Damn. Screwed me over. Never invest in Eskimo real estate, son.
Okay, I will sure to pass this message on.
Great, son. Now I have to go. Chances are this phone call is being recorded right now.
Okay, that was very random. Thanks again for listening, guys. We have some great stuff on the way for the podcast over the next several weeks. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at Throw Podcast, THROW Podcast, or Instagram at Throwback_podcast to find out more. Until next time.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out on Twitter at Throw Podcast or on the web at www.blogtalkradio.com/throwback.